Well, the purpose of today's sermon is to look at what God has done for us when he called us and to consider the tests of faith that we've had. If you'd like to turn to John 6, verse 44, which you would know very well. And while you're turning there, the title of today's sermon is We Were Slaves. John 6, verse 44, which Mr. Armstrong covered a lot. No one can come to me, Joshua the Christ, unless, and that's very interesting, because it's unless the Father who sent me draws him. So we have all been called by name because of God the Father, because we can't come to this body, the body of Christ, the church of God, unless God the Father himself called us. Now, often I've reflected on my calling because of what it really meant. And I remember the excitement of a calling. And yet, all too many forget this calling that we have. And yet, those that are listening today, those that hear it in the future, and all of us here today, called by God the Father. What an incredible thing. Absolutely incredible. And just to put it into a perspective, which is in the book, you can have the perspective of Numbers. But if you look at it, the average lifespan is 70, 70 years. And the Bible talks about a life, a human life, is like a hand breadth, which is not a hand spread out. It's that wide, which is 70 years. So if you take a rope and you run it that way as far as you can and that way as far as you can, we're out of sight, just so far. Then you take one hand and put it there. That's 70 years. That's us in that rope when you look around. Well, if you take 100 of them, it still doesn't go far, does it? That's the life of mankind. Okay? You look at it, 7,000 years, and then there's 100 years, we have a resurrection, and 100 year period. So it's nothing. When you look at it, it's nothing. Yet, in that period, God is going to build a family from this short period of 100 of these 70-year periods, and then, you know, it's personal choice. But no more children. So what an incredible thing. In that period, which we're part of this period, one little width, we are on this rope, and yet you can look that way, and that's what we look forward to. There's no end to it. Mind can't grasp it. But the more important thing, look back that way as well, because we can't understand that God didn't have a beginning. Our minds can't grasp it. But that's what we're dealing with. This little period of time we're in versus where God has been always, and where we could be always this way. So this little period of 70 years, and yet I was called at the age of 30. So 70 years, it's possibly 40, all being well. Body keeps going. Isn't that incredible? And here we are, called by God for a purpose. So it says no one can come to the church, the body of Christ, the church of God, nobody, unless, so this is the important word, unless. So we're a group of unless. Really? Unless God the Father, who sent me, draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now, often when people read it, they'll say, raise him up at the last day. Well, there's not just one last day, because we know there's three resurrections, 144,000. Raise him up at the last day. The end of 6,000 years, there's a last day, and there'll be a resurrection, 144,000. There's another last day, end of 7,000 years. The majority of us would like to be in that last day, to be resurrected, second resurrection. Then there is a last day, according to what God has created as far as time, because really time only exists because of us, if you look at what time is, the rising of the sun and going down. Well, if you look at it, there's the third one, the last day, which is that big resurrection of the majority of mankind that have had 100 years to change, to think differently by a choice. Incredible. So what our calling, if you look at what our calling is, incredible thing. And yet there's been many, many that have not followed through by remembering their calling. Just thinking about it. It's very humbling just to have been called. Very humbling. So as the title says, we were slaves. Well, that's what we've been called out of. We've been called, these very few, this handbreadth, just at this time for a purpose, but we were all once slaves. Now, when you use the word slavery, it has a different impact physically for different people. Well, some would think, yes, I remember the slavery of the Israelites in Egypt, one group of slavery. Then there's those that were from the African area that were slaves and came to a continent like this, were brought here as slaves. But other countries have done it. The British Empire, they had boats, they used to ship people around all over the world. They had slavery. Today, there is slavery. People are in slavery. They're in the bondage of their natural carnal mind, the natural mind. So everyone out there that hasn't been called, unless God the Father calls them, they are in slavery. Well, this sermon's about the fact that we were slaves. That's where we came from. So we can look back and relate. Now, that's why we should not have any expectation on anybody out there, no matter what they say or what they do, because they are still slaves. We're not. Therefore, we're free. Therefore, we should be different. So we shouldn't be acting like slaves. Really, when you think of it, we were slaves, but we're not. Now, they can't understand it. That's, you know, we know that. So therefore, the responsibility of what we've got, this calling, is incredible. The fact that we were slaves to our own natural carnal mind, which we have, which we never thought, I know I didn't, I never thought about anybody else other than myself, ever. I still struggle now, you know, even though I'm not a slave to my selfishness, because God's given me the awareness of what my selfishness is. So then I can say, well, I shouldn't be doing this, but you've still got to fight. You know, we all got to fight, true. It's difficult, but we are not slaves. And we're going to look at scriptures, all being well. I must admit I do have a problem, one of many. And one of them is I have a lot of notes, and deep down I really hope I get to certain scriptures. And often I never get there, but we'll see how we go. So we were slaves, and there's different slavery. Today, there's slavery with everybody's in slavery to a natural carnal mind. They cannot think spiritually because God hasn't called them, but we have. Now, there's current slaves, and people don't look at it as slavery. But as people say, well, today, the prosperity of the United States, Britain, and most westernized countries is based on slavery still. And people say, what do you mean it's based on slavery still? Well, if it's made in China, that's slavery, because they get a dollar a day. And we wear all these clothes and all that because it's all made by slaves, economic slaves. That's the truth of the matter. And, you know, the sex slaves, there's all different types of slavery. There's people that are held and forced to do things and live a particular way, even though they don't want to, but if you don't, you lose your head. So the slaves still existing today, but we are not slaves. Isn't it an incredible thing when you take the whole world? We're not slaves. We're not slaves to this natural thinking. We're not slaves to a society. In some ways we are, but in other ways we're not. We're slaves to taxation, of course. But we're not slaves on a spiritual level. We are free because of God the Father called us to it, to be free. It's a wonderful thing, and it's something we should never forget. But unfortunately, human pride will get in the way if we're not careful. If we don't have that level of humility to realise the blessing of a calling, whether it's 1 year or 10 or 20 or 30 years, it really is about thinking about this. Now, when going through this, one of the things that dawned on me is this business about the length of the rope and how we're never worthy. And the more that you dwell on this topic, and I've dwelt on it, I realise no one's worthy. No one can be worthy. We're never worthy. You've got this great mind, Yahweh Elohim, who decides to have a family over this period of time, very short, with these beings that are by nature against God, and yet he, in his mercy, decides to give us the opportunity to share with him something that he has. Life, true life, peace. And yet he's decided to call us. And we're not worthy of it. Could have been anybody. You know, often thought, why me? It's, you know, winning the lottery is not even involved in this. This is not about winning a lottery. This is an incredible act of mercy that God has a purpose for us, as he has for all creation, the opportunity. Well, we've got it now, and we should hang on to it really tightly, really tightly, because the opportunity of what God has put before us is, well, our minds can't go there. What's it like to live forever? I often think, what's it like not to sin? Or to think back, you know, wow, wouldn't that be good? I'm looking forward to that day, because by nature we do. So we were slaves, but we're not anymore. So let's look at 2 Corinthians 6. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 16. And what agreement, now this word agreement means putting together, because when you do an agreement, you sign, both sign a contract, that's an agreement. Well, what putting together or what accord has the temple of God, which we are, with idols? Which is, what has God got to do with falsehood, something that's not true? Nothing. There's no, you can't join the two together, they don't go. For you are the temple of the living God, which is the dwelling place of God, as God has said. So this now covers what true fellowship really is. I will dwell in them. This is Yahweh Elohim, the creator of the universe, that has a mind that we really can't comprehend. We may think we comprehend God, but really, deep down, God has existed forever. And so that mind that has existed forever, and we have a natural carnal mind, so even though we have 57 truths plus one, we know little of the glory and the magnificent power of God, really. And we assume we do, but can you go that far forever and think that God has had all this thinking for this long and created everything? I was saying to Johnny the other day, I think it's called The Power of Ten. When I watched it, I found it more exciting, not the going up part, looking up, but the going down. When you get into molecules and atoms and there's things inside that, and then they say within a particular molecule or atom there's space. What do you mean there's space? It's incredible. You know, and they're going magnifying hundreds of thousands of times, trying to go lower, and they do, and there's still something there. The mind of God who created that, put it all together, and we think that we're special, you know. Human nature, the mind, you know, I know how to count to 50. Incredible. Yeah, but that's our potential. Now, when you look at that physical thing, well, let's look at the truth. So God places truth in the church, and the potential we have is what? To think that we know better or know more than the God of the universe who has existed forever. And yet we lift ourselves up or have this potential, because why do people leave the church, really? They lifted themselves up because they thought that someone's wrong. But they're right, but that's why they leave the church. Because I don't want to forget I sometimes struggle to speak about it because we'll carry on. I will dwell in them, this is God, and walk among them, which is what's happened to us. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Now, we here and those listening, we are God's people. We underestimate it. We truly, truly do, because you know, we just don't value our calling, what God has really done for us. We underestimate. We are God's people. We're the people of God. At the feast, there was a young child, he's three. He used to say, how old are you? Three. And we were walking back from a meal, and he turned around and he said, Wayne, God speaks to us, doesn't he? What do you say? It's true. So I had to tell his father, make sure he doesn't go to school telling people that God speaks to us. But that's true. God speaks to us. Isn't it amazing? But God doesn't speak to others to the same degree. God's word is there, but they can't hear him anyway, even though God does speak to them through the book and all that, but they don't hear, they can't. But God speaks to us. Now, how many people in all of the creation can say that God speaks to us? Incredible calling. Well, people forget it. And people tend or have a tendency to lift themselves up and virtually think that they have a special relationship with God outside of the structure that God set up. This creator that existed forever set up a structure, which we have. Yet people will raise themselves up. Well, we have that same potential. And hopefully we're going to get to a particular scripture where we have that tendency. And the moment say, I would never do that. I would never do that. Don't be so self-assured that that's what you would never do or I would never do. Because that's an element of pride, because you've got to be very careful. Because by the grace of God, by the mercy of God, go we. We blessed that we're here because God allows us to be here. Because we have a purpose that we don't fully comprehend. Verse 17, therefore, or because of this, come out from among them, which is unbelievers, come out of their lifestyle, come out and be separate. Think differently than everybody else. Now, we have the power to think differently. They don't and they can't. Therefore, we should know, don't expect them to think differently. Don't expect people to understand. Now, when you think about it, when you go to a foreign country and you hear a different language, we travel, we went into California, and because of accents that are there, we struggled to understand the English that they were speaking because Australian English is different than American English, but when you throw another dialect into it or another accent into it, we went in and we were looking for milk, which Americans call cream, I think. We call it milk. And we wanted to order this thing, and the lady went da-da-da-da, and we think, we have no idea what you're talking about. So in the end, we said, milk drink. Ah, you want a frappe. Because that's what it's like. Well, we should understand that from a physical level. On a spiritual level, it's exactly the same. Nobody can understand what we're talking about. We're going to the Feast of Tabernacles. We're going to have the Day of Atonement. We speak a different language. We really do. And we don't understand it. They can't understand the truths of God. We can. We have it. Now, we only understand because of God's great mercy, because God called us and gave us to Joshua the Messiah. And we've been placed into the body of Christ, which is the church of God. We are all part of the church of God. Incredible thing. Well, we're never to forget it. So we're to come out of this world, come out of that way of thinking, come out of that lifestyle, the different things that they do. Often we think, because of the way we are in our society, we think that we pay tax, yes, and then we tithe. But in our mind, that's the way we think. But really, God should be first. The most important thing in all of that system is first tithe and second tithe. They're the most important things. The taxation doesn't matter. But those two are so important. But people will pay their taxation before paying first tithe. You think, priorities, the mind is capable of many things, justification. But really, deep down, the mind should say, I'm going to pay. God is first. God, first tithe is first. Taxation doesn't matter, whether it's low tax here in America compared to where we are. That's first. But mines, tax is first. You've got to keep the government because the government will be after you. And you think, the mind's not right. The thinking's wrong. God should be first. God, come out of her, my people. God's first. So we're separate. We're different. Be separate than the ways of this world. So it's about slavery. Everyone is in a slavery, a bondage, a captivity of the mind, no matter what it is. It's about systems and the way they live. Well, we're to come out of that. And it says here, do not touch or do not handle what is unclean. Well, first thing people think of clean and unclean foods. Well, it's spiritual in nature. Don't touch the unclean. Don't handle sin. So if we've got sin in our life, which we all have, God says we shouldn't handle it. It shouldn't be just something that we become complacent with and absorb because, you know, consuming unclean foods. Well, this is about don't absorb these things. But there's a tendency in our life to do that just because of the way we are. Well, if we don't handle sin and we are continually looking to repent, looking to change, it says, I will receive you. I will be a father to you. And if you look at it, what's a father? Anyone that has children knows what a father is. A father protects, provides, leads, and nurtures. That's what God does to us at this time. He does all those things. He protects us. He provides for us if we're willing to consume it. He leads us in a direction through church government. And he nurtures us. None of us are worthy to be part of the body of Christ. Nobody. It's just that God decided to call you and me for a reason. I reflected back the other day. I can normally speak between 1.5 to 2 hours without much trouble. And I remember the first day I went to Spokesman's Club and they said, you've got to do a 6-minute icebreaker. 6 minutes? What am I going to talk about for 6 minutes? And I worried about it. I prayed about it for 3 weeks. 6 minutes. I look at the watch. 3 minutes is gone. What am I going to talk about? Now I think, half an hour, I've nearly done introduction. Oh, dear. Time heals all things. So don't touch the unclean thing. We've been called out. We shouldn't be handling sin. So if there's sin in our life that we're aware of, God says, you know, come out, get rid of it, and he'll help us. We can only get sin out of our life or overcome sin by the power of God's Holy Spirit. We have to think differently. We've got to come out of the way we were, the slavery to selfishness, because that's what it's really all about. When you look at Days of Unleavened Bread, the slaves, we were slaves. Yeah, we were slaves to our selfishness. Well, now we have to learn to deny ourselves, sacrifice ourselves, and now become slaves to God, servants of God. That's what we have to do. So it's a journey and it takes time. It takes a lot of time to actually come out from among her, my people. It really does. It takes time. Not easy. That's the whole point. It's not easy. I will be a father to you and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty, the eternal God. So we were called to be separated from sin. We were called to be a dwelling place of God. It's an amazing thing if we just could grasp that and what it really is being said. We've been called to be a dwelling place of God. God's thinking in our mind. That's the reason we're called. God wants to dwell in us. And the only way that we can overcome our selfishness, the slavery that we have by nature, what we choose, is that God dwells in us. We've been called to start, and I've underlined the word start, because it is a start, because we'll never overcome everything. But we're to start something, to start the process of overcoming self by our own free choice. And that's what it's about. We were once slaves. Well, now we have free choice. With the power of God's Holy Spirit, now we can choose. I remember up to the age of 30, I chose things based on my human nature, which is self-satisfaction, self-comfort. So that was the choice. There was no other choice for me. Carnal, there is no other choice. You don't want to be uncomfortable. So why would you choose that? Well, now we have a power of choice. It's an incredible thing. We have that power. No one out there has that power. We have. So we have been called to overcome our self or our selfishness, joined with the power of God's Holy Spirit. But it is a choice. We can go either way. Sometimes we win, sometimes we lose by choice because the carnal mind will dominate. We were called so that in time, based on our choices, we could be part of Yahweh Elohim. And if you just remember that really long rope both ways, and the hand, that's your life and my life, just that little period there, period of time. We've been called to live this little period here so that we can never see the end of that rope. How merciful is God? So really, we shouldn't become despondent, because what God is requiring of us is just to make a choice. It sounds easy. Just make a choice. This little period here, and I'm going to give you all of that. Never to suffer pain, never to have bad attitudes, never to sin, never to be in rebellion. That's what I'm offering you. All we have to do is make one choice. God first, no matter what. That applies to our nature. So we get tempted and tested in things, and God says, well, what will you do? Choose, just choose. Sounds easy, doesn't it? Sounds really easy, but it's not when it happens to you. We as the Church of God today can appreciate what God has done for us by Him calling us out of slavery, out of the bondage of the natural carnal mind. A calling is a gift from God. An incredible gift that we have that others haven't been given. Their time will come. Once called, baptized, and having received God's Holy Spirit, then we have the power to think differently by choice. We can now obey the Spirit of the law. Now, the world can't understand the Spirit of the law, which Christ went through and explained about adultery, what it really meant. It don't have to commit adultery to be committing adultery, if you know what I mean. It's about the thinking process. It's the thought and what we do with the thought. So we have the power to look at our intent. Now, mankind tries to examine intent. They can't understand intent. We can. We know our intent. It's either for God or against God. Straightforward. There's no three choices. There's two. The intent is, I'm going to look after my pride and who I think I am, versus I'm going to honour God and sacrifice myself for what God has offered me. Two choices, not difficult. Difficult when you're living it. The aspect of we are not worthy of a calling, and it's something to really meditate about, because connected to this thinking about being not worthy is true humility. Because the opposite to it is pride. So if we think we're worthy of a calling, ever, big warning bell, you know, should be a big bell. Bang! Pride! Bang! Pride! We are not worthy, and the day that we can come to that conclusion that we're not worthy, we are nothing, we're selfish. God in His mercy made us and given us this opportunity. We're never worthy, never going to be. No matter how much obedience a person does, they're still not worthy. It is a gift from God. A gift from God. Never worthy. Well, we can look at that. Humility and, yeah, I'm not worthy, versus pride. And I think I'm worthy. No, never worthy. Can't be. Only God can give us what He's offering because of our humility that we choose, that He gives us. God has to give true humility. So we can't earn this calling. No one can just turn around and say, oh, you know, often an email will come in and says, I want to join the Church of God. Well, where do you start? You cannot join the Church of God, if you know what I'm talking about. It's a spiritual matter because it requires certain things. It requires the first thing, repentance. What of? What's the repentance of? Sin. What is sin? The transgression of God's law. God's what? God's law. Most people look at God's law, Ten Commandments, as physical things. Don't have idols. Remember the rich man. Don't have idols. Don't do this. Don't do that. It's about the spirit of the matter. So now we've been required to obey the spirit of the law. Why do we do what we do is what's the most important thing. So someone can say something and their motive behind why they said it, we don't know. But they may say something to us, believing they're encouraging us. And we may hear it and think, oh, say that to me. When really their intent was good, but ours receiving of it is bad. That's why we should never take anything that way. We should never hold anything against anybody, because we don't know people's intent. Deuteronomy 6, verse 10. Deuteronomy 6, verse 10. Verse 10, so it shall be when the eternal your God brings you into the land. This is physical, we're reading, and that's what we tend to look at, the physical part. Here they are. God's saying, I'm going to bring you into the land. Well, we can look at this like the church. So when God, in his mercy, calls us, draws us, and places us in the church, the body, of which he swore, which he promised to our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you a large and beautiful cities, which you did not build. So the church of God, as we exist, no human built it. No human built it. God did it. This is God's church. We belong to God. We don't belong to anybody else. We belong to God. We're all different, thankfully. If you're all like me, or you know, we'd have big problems, no one to get a word in edgeways. So we've been called. We're all different. But it's a beautiful thing that God is doing. He's called us in so that he can build something for a family. So we didn't build it. Nobody builds the church. God does it all through Joshua the Messiah. Houses full of good things. What's that referring to? Houses good of things. Good thing. We think physically, we think TV, big screen. None of that. The good thing is the truth. This house is filled with good things. Only God is good. Therefore, the truth is good because it comes from God. Incredible things that we have, they don't. He called us. We have the truth. We didn't do anything about it. God gave it to us, and here it is. Here's this house, the body, which you did not fill, hewed out wells, which you did not dig. Now, you can look at wells. What are wells? Water. What is water symbolic of? God's Holy Spirit. So we didn't do anything. God gave us the Holy Spirit because he gave us repentance. We made a choice to follow God at baptism. Now, the gift of God's Holy Spirit is available to us. The only problem in all of this is me and you. So the well can be empty because of what we do. But God wants to keep the well full, if you understand where I'm going with this. It's about God's Holy Spirit. So we didn't dig it, no. God gave his Holy Spirit so that we can think differently, so that we can appreciate our calling, that we can actually understand that we were once slaves to something else, selfishness. And therefore, God, through the power of his Holy Spirit, has given us the opportunity to be free, but now to be servants of God. Vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant, which is all about spiritual food, when you have eaten and are full, so we've got all this. Here we are, Church of God, PKG, many called, some awakened from being asleep, me, one of them. Well, here we are. We have all this. Beware. Verse 12. Beware. You've got all this. We've got all this plenty. Beware. Don't ever think that we cannot deny God or deny the truth. Many have. Beware. Keep on guard. Be on guard in the mind. You know, got to watch that level of bitterness or what we think others said to us or what others might have done to us. Who are we then to think that about somebody? We have to be on guard about our thinking. And we all fail in it. I'm not saying that we're all perfect by any means. We all fail in that. That's normal. But it's about grabbing hold of that thinking and thinking, hang on a minute, well, how stupid am I, Wayne, to think that way? You know, who do I think I am that I would think that about someone that God has called, that God has placed in the body and given his Holy Spirit? And everyone's at different levels of growth. So who are we to raise ourselves up and think someone's not worthy? You think of it, it's really stupid thinking because we're lifting ourselves up against God. So we have all this spiritual wealth. We have the truth. We are to beware. Verse 12, beware lest you forget the Eternal who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. That's the biggest danger we all face, is to forget our calling. And you know, the church has preached this for a long period of time. It's a big problem within people's lives. They forget what we've been called out of. You all will remember the day or the period of time when you were called and the excitement. I remember clearly going to my mother, who was a Catholic, and Chris and myself were being called. And I had this new knowledge and I was going to tell her. And it went really well. Kaboom! You know, like, because you understand Catholic. She thought in her mind that if I was turning against the Catholic Church, I was going to, not Gehenna fire, hellfire. And that I was lost forever. And she was that upset, but boy, talk about the jugular vein. Well, that was the last time we mentioned anything about the truth for a while. And at that period of time, because we were under attack at different areas of family, we decided that the only way through it was to separate ourselves from our family. At that time, going back 30 or something years. But that was the only way. And we did. And had little contact and still have very little contact because I'm a religious nut. I'll tell you what happened. My mother died. My brother rang me up because she was in another area, another state. And I trigged really quickly. My brother said, oh, Mum's dead. I said, oh, you know, that did it. And me coming over to the funeral, no. It was miles away, one side or the other. I said, no, I wouldn't be there because I understand what death is and all the rest of it. He doesn't. And then he turned around and said, anyway, Wayne, what's it like being an evangelist? And I thought, he's been on the internet. And his perception of an evangelist is white suit. Because he's a carnal mind. I know he's a carnal mind. I know what he's thinking. And I didn't answer him. I just said, oh, it's been really hot over here. and then he twisted a bit more and he said, 2 minutes later, didn't have much to talk about, you see, because when you're separated and you're of different minds, there's very little to talk about. You can say, oh, how are the kids and all that sort of. Anyway, what do you do as an evangelist? And I think, I didn't answer that one either. I could have told him I'd do as I'm told. But he wouldn't have understood that. I thought, well, boy, it's been really hot again, really hot over here. Well, what do you say to people? You can't answer these questions. Because I know his understanding of what he thought I was and am is totally different to what I know is happening to me and what I am battling. Because if I'd sat down and said, well, I'm battling myself. Really loopy. So we can't talk to them. He's in slavery. And I'm being set free. And one day, he'll understand. But at the moment, he doesn't. It didn't last very long. And that's been the last time I spoke to my brother, would you believe? Long time. Because I know he's in a different thinking. And there's no advantage for him or me at this moment. And I know one day, God willing, he'll see and go, ah. Like I go, ah, what a stupid person I am. He'll go, ah, what a stupid person I was. That's what the hope is. So we have this great calling. We're never to forget that God called us. We were once slaves, just like Israel was, but it's a spiritual thing. This was physical, and God was doing all of this for us. Now that is incredible. All that those people went through physically was leading to something. That was all the physical. All that they did and all the wandering wasn't about them really, was it? It was about us in this room and those listening. It's about something spiritual, incredible thing. And I look forward to the day, one day, meeting one of those people that were wandering in the wilderness and saying, yep, you went through all that 40 years in the wilderness for me. Because it's actually true. Theirs was something physical. Mine is something spiritual. Come out, you know, be separate, being called by God. Slaves, they were slaves and they were set free. Well, we were slaves and we've been set free. So the main point here is that we should never forget who called us and why. Now, we should all understand the why. Now, there's aspects of our life that we don't understand everything, but God loves us and he has a position for all of us, every one of us, and we're not sure where it is or where we fit, but we do fit if we continue in the truth. We're to never forget that we see the truth by the power of God's Holy Spirit, which, excuse me, many do. Many forget how they saw the truth, where the truth and how the truth comes into the church. Many, I'm not talking hundreds, thousands of people have forgotten their calling. Thousands. Verse 13, you shall fear the eternal your God, which is fear to go against God. We should fear to actually sin, to go against the creator of the universe. And if we always just stopped and thought about it, whether we're worthy or not, And if we were just to think about that hand's breadth, that 70 years that God says in the Bible, and we're on this rope and this one little hand, and that's your period of time, maybe we would fear to sin when you consider that way and that way on the rope. That God has been there all that time, yet in his mercy he put me on this rope in this position, and it only lasts for 7,100 years. It's only that wide out of this huge rope. Maybe we would all stop and think, oh, I need to change. I need to fight more, be more diligent. And serve him, which is serve him with our thinking, and you shall take oaths in his name. Well, we don't do that, of course, as a physical oath, but we make commitments to God at baptism. We made commitments, and God wants to know whether we're going to honour it. God is pointing to a fact here that we should put God first in our lives by looking to him for all spiritual direction in our thinking. Verse 14, you shall not go after other gods. Well, we do when we give in to our selfishness, because the greatest god, false god out there is our human nature. That's what we lift up. We put our selfishness first, and we do it often. And often we don't even recognize we're doing it, but that's what we do by nature. We lift ourself or our view or our opinion above what God says. And disobedience is simply that. We're either obeying or disobeying. And when we disobey, what are we doing? We're lifting something else up before God, above God. You shall not go after other gods, other families, selfishness that is in us, or have a relationship with our selfishness, is another way to put it. We're not to have a relationship with our selfishness, which is, if we're slaves, that's what we do. Well, we've been called out of it. The gods of the people who are around you, which is, if you look at it today, self-interest. Self-interest is a false god, really, because that's what the world does, looks after self-interest, self first. We're to have no other relationships, because those relationships will lead to our death, spiritual death. Verse 15, for the Lord your God is a jealous God among you. In other words, God knows us and he has called us to give us the opportunity to overcome our selfishness. Your God and be aroused against you to destroy you from the face of the earth. So we're to protect our minds by not going too far to become set. Now God in his mercy has often intervened into mankind because their minds were going in a direction. And unless God stopped it through death, their minds would have gone too far and they become set. And there's many a people that are alive today that have gone too far. They've gone too far and their minds are set. And no matter what God would offer them, their minds are set on their own selfishness. Verse 16, you shall not test the Lord your God as you tested him in Massa, which is a place of testing. Israel wanted to prove that God was with them. That's what it was about. So we're going to look at that in Exodus 17, verse 1. Now, when we look at this, we think it's something physical, that Israel here, they're all whinging, and they come to this place and there's no water, and they're whinging to Moses. And does the word whinging mean something in American yet? Whining?
Whining.
They're whinging and whining. They're probably doing both. There was some Ephraimites there, I'm sure they would have been whinging. So we can learn from this physical example that we're going to look at, which covered in Exodus 17, verse 7, if you quickly drop to it, is what was the problem? What was the real problem there? Is the eternal among us or not? A brilliant question. Now, this is a doubting question that they asked. So they're saying, here we are, there's no truth in the sense of no water, there's no truth, that's what people say. There's no water and we're complaining and, well, is God with us? Is God with this, really? Because if God was with us, wouldn't there be water? That's what they're really saying. Well, from a spiritual perspective, let's look at it. Could we ever say God is not in the Church of God PKG? Could we ever say that? The answer is we have the potential to. We have the potential. How do I know that? How do you know that? Thousands have left the truth. And why do they leave? Because they answer this question for themselves. Is the eternal among us or not? Is this God's true church or not? That's the. So on a spiritual level, we're going to look at what Peter did. And we often look at and judge Peter for denying Christ. We've got the exact same potential to deny Christ. Now, this question is why people leave the church, really. Because God's not here, obviously. Otherwise, Mr. Wineland wouldn't have said what he said. Obviously, you can prove that God's not here. That's why people leave. Because if they knew the eternal God who had existed forever, that way and that way, if they really believed it and remembered their calling, do you think they would leave? They wouldn't. Because if God was here, you wouldn't leave. Why would you? There's only one God, all-powerful, almighty. So this question is going to come up. We're going to look at it. The proof that God is with us is found when? So how do we know God's here? Well, I'll give you the answer. We see our calling, number one. We see our calling because we give the credit to God. Only God could have called us out of where we were. I know for a fact. I'm living proof. If you had known me from the age of whatever to 30, and now you see me and who I am now, what God has made me, I remember my calling. I know what I was like. And I look at it and I don't want to talk about it. It's because of the shame that's connected to it. You think, how did I ever do that? Well, I know why I did it. Totally selfish. Totally and utterly. And even when I was first called, I now look at it and realize how badly I treated my wife and family. And I was called and I still did it. Why? Because deep down, Wayne's in there. Selfishness is in there. And it's taken a long time to come to see that I treated my family so badly. I don't want to talk about it. Exodus 17, verse 1. When all the children of Israel set out on their journey from the wilderness of Sin, clay, in Arabia, according to the commandment of the Eternal, and camped at Rephidim, a place of rest, but there was no water for the people there. So we're looking at this physical. We're going to look at this on a spiritual level. God provides a place where His Spirit was, where the water was, because it was a period from 1994 to 1998, the beginning of the Church of God, where water was available, spiritual, true? The beginning of the Church, Church of God, PKG in 1998, Pentecost in 1998. So water was provided, but it required something. It required to go back here to what God said. Nobody comes to Christ. Nobody. Unless God the Father calls them to this place of water. Nobody. Well, that's what awakening is as well. Because I've been through that. It's a great, in some ways, it's a blessing to have been asleep in some ways. I did the wrong thing, went to sleep, self-righteous, and then to be awakened, I remember either sending an email, or I think I sent an email and to Ron and said, I remember the date, 15th of December, we're now joining you. It's a spiritual matter, true? There's no joining. This is a matter of whether you see or you don't. You remember your calling. Well, I now, blessed in some ways, I remember my calling. I remember all the things I did wrong in the beginning of that process. I remember all the words that I said that were wrong and all the things that I used to believe. To now, to be awakened and to see, it was so exciting to see certain things. And I remember one person came up to me and said, you know, this guy, he believes there's only one God, 2005 sermons. You know that, Wayne, you know, because being part of Worldwide, there was two gods. And because he thought that would put me off. You know that he's preaching there's only one God. I said, no. I hadn't heard that sermon yet. No, No, but it doesn't matter. Because it doesn't matter, does it? Really, when you look at it, it doesn't matter. I know God. I knew God was here. And we were just so thankful to be awakened. And how stupid we'd... Oh, it's an incredible thing. To be awakened is an incredible, incredible thing. Just like a calling. To get a second chance to know the truth and see the truth. Well, there's a place of rest for God's people since 1998. Water was there if we wanted to drink it. Therefore, the people contended. Now, the word contended is grappled or debated. They debated with Moses. They complained to him and said, "Give us water that we may drink." So Moses said to them, "Why do you contend with me? Why do you test," which is try, "the eternal?" Because it goes back to that verse 7. Is God here or not? Well, this is the question for us. Because if we can answer it, we will never leave God, if we really believe it. Because there's different things answering, "Hey, God's here, of course he is." But do we really believe it? Do you really believe, do I really believe that God is in me? Like little boy said, God speaks to us. Do we really, really, really believe that God speaks to us? I believe it. I believe it. I hope you do. And I hope everyone listening does too. Because that's the answer to whether or not we're going to endure or not. This is God's church. God does speak to us. And I see the truth. Not because of Wayne Matthews. Nothing because of who I am or anything like that. The opposite, actually. The gift of God. God the Father called me and my wife and you. That's why we see. Isn't it a beautiful thing? Now, anybody that's not called or understand or has God's Spirit will think I'm an idiot. Why wouldn't you? This guy thinks God talks to him. But that's true. That little kid was right out of the mouth of babes. It's a wonderful thing. It's beautiful. I won't tell you some of the other things he said as well. Because I had to go back to the father again and said, "Listen, you've got to make sure he doesn't tell him about that one either." Oh, dear. I'll tell you, we had personal experience of this. We were called into Worldwide. We walked away, got a caravan, parked the caravan, looked for the Church of God. Well, of course, we drove around all the time looking for the Church of God. There was no such thing. So anyway, our daughter was, I think, 6 or 7 maybe. I can't remember the age exactly. And we had all this, and you don't realise, children hear sermons. And she was hearing all the doom and gloom and the destruction part. So we were in the caravan one day, and next minute the person across another caravan or little unit they were in came and was banging on the door really fiercely and had Thea in hand and said, "Keep your maniac daughter away from us." And then we realised what Thea was saying. She was walking around saying, "The end's coming." And all this stuff, you know, and we're going, oh. So we had to sit down and think, well, there's certain things you can't say. You can't go telling other people and other children that, you know, everyone's going to die. Anyway, so I was trying to help this person because I knew what it was like. So what they were saying was, the attitude is, if God was here, this wouldn't be happening. Now, we can have this same attitude, would you believe? Very easily. This would not be happening. And I'm going to go through some aspects of how we can get into that attitude because of things that happen in God's church that we don't expect. Because I came out of a worldwide background and a lot of what I believed was physical and things change. And the spirit of matters is here, the spirit of a matter. And it's different. It's different than what I did. So you prepare. You prepare yourself and think, oh, okay. Someone asked me once about the Bible, and I said, look, don't ask me. They said, but you know, you're an evangelist, you should know. I said, a clue. There's many a scripture. I would not have a clue. I've got present understanding on certain things, but I don't know what it really means. All I know is that I'm in God's hands, and whatever God reveals through his apostle, that's fine with me. Outside of that, I wouldn't have a clue. Don't ask me. But they assume you know. Well, in the old days, of course, you gave an answer for everything. Even if you didn't know, you told them. Whereas now you go, I don't know what that means. You know, what does Revelation such and such mean? Wouldn't have a clue. This is what I think it means, but hey, we'll wait until God reveals it. And there's much in the Bible hasn't been revealed. We just don't understand it all. So this attitude that they had, we can have. If this is God's church, why is this or that happening? So I want to look at some of those. The test that we have had is about this. Is this God's church? Well, the first one, the what if sermon. Remember that, if those were around at that time? What if Christ doesn't return on a particular date? Well, then you get to the 2012. Well, this can't be God's church because people left over it. What's that all about? Here it is, the answer. The answer is just what we read. Because people, this can't be God's church, can it? Because, you know, here we are, we're out here, and it didn't happen. If this was God's church, we'd have water. If this was God's church, we wouldn't have this information, and it didn't happen. Well, it was simply a test, really, when you look at it. It was just a test to see whether or not we believe this is God's church. Do we really believe God speaks to us? Really? Really, really, really? Or do we just say it? If we believe it, it won't matter what happens. It will not matter what happens. And the 50th truth, the change of the 50th truth. If this is God's church, it doesn't matter what happens, what changes. Really, does it? Really? Deep down? Doesn't matter. We are God's. We don't know everything. We don't lift ourselves up thinking we know. We know this is God's church, and it really doesn't matter. We're in God's hands, after all, when you really look at it. We're in God's hands, and if we understand the rope and this little period of time, this rope belongs to God, and there's no end of either way, and here we are, and yet we will raise ourselves up on this little rope and think, I know more, I know the end of the rope in the beginning. No, we haven't got a clue. We have no idea where that rope goes in the future. We think we know. But to be in Elohim, we don't know what it's like. We don't really know what it's like not to sin. But that's what we've been offered, the potential. Well, we've got to be careful we don't develop this attitude. If this is God's church, why is this or that happening? The other one, you know, there's been many a test. There's certain tests that have been talked about within the church. But there's other tests that we can have in life. And it all goes back to this one point about, is this God's church or isn't it? And therefore, it doesn't really matter what happens. Whether this happens or that happens, no, we are God's people and God does speak to us. As strange as it may sound to others. Verse 3, and the people thirsted there for water, and the people complained against Moses and said, why is it you have brought us out of the land of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst? So they're looking at it very physical, and they were really saying, well, where's God in all of this? This can't be right, because where's God? The physical, emotional reaction that they had, we should remember. And the reason I say that is because often when people lose their way in God's church, it becomes that, a physical, emotional reaction. That's what it really becomes. Because God's Spirit's not there, they don't look at it at the spirit of the matter and say, I'm the problem. There is one particular person, won't go into a lot of detail, but through different periods of counselling and saying certain things, and she'll remember who it is, where she would, and I'd listen, and say, she said, well, what do you think? And I said, well, all I can tell you is you're the problem. Because we are the problem. You know, when someone says something to us, what's the problem? The way we react. That's the problem. So someone can call us whatever. Does it matter? Or do we let pride get in the way and justify or complain back? No, if we just remember we're the problem, we're always the problem, we're always going to be the problem, and whatever happens in God's church, the biggest problem is me. I'm the problem. It's the way I'm thinking. So Moses, it was rather incredible what happened. So Moses cried out to the Eternal, which is an incredible thing. The leadership of God's church, something not sure, ask God and then wait and wait and wait. Because you just don't know when it's going to come. And then when it comes, oh, should have seen that. How many times has that happened? Where certain things and you go, Look at that. Can see it now. Should have. Why didn't we see that? But now we see it. Easy. One God. How we ever believed there was two, true? Because you can make things fit. Now it's so obvious there's one God. There's no other God besides me. Oh, should have read that before. But wasn't God's time to give it to the church, to his people? Power of God's Spirit, it was given to us. And there's no drama, is there? It might be a battle for some, but it's, oh yeah, okay. This is God's church, that's where we're going. It's wonderful if we have that ability by the power of God's Spirit in us. It's a wonderful blessing to see it. We put, oh, okay, that's, you know, don't move the chairs on the aisle. Okay, don't move the chairs on the aisle. Is it difficult? No, not really. Just don't move the chairs into the aisle. But for some, it may be difficult. So Moses cried at the Eternal and said, what shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me. So this is that verbal attack. And it could have turned to a physical one, what he's saying. So Moses turned to God for the answer, really. He turned to God and said, well, what do you want to do with this people? You know, it's like transferring the issue. Because often we think we can solve the matter. Well, the reality is you can't. We have to wait for God and he will solve it in his time, which is the problem for humans. In his time is a big problem for humans because we're impatient. And the Lord said to Moses, go on before the people and take with you some of the elders of Israel. Also, take in your hand your rod. Now, that rod was from God and it pointed to authority. It's the rod of authority that he had, that God had given him. Also, take the rod in your hand with which you to strike the river and go. Behold, I will stand before you. Now, this is the exciting part of this particular scripture. I, Yahweh Elohim, the creator of the universe, will stand before you. What can go wrong? If God is there standing before us, what is it that's going to overpower us? Well, it will if we don't believe that God is standing before us. This is God's true church, and God is before us. God is with us. God is in us. God speaks to us. World can't understand it. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock in Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, which points to Christ, the water, which points to the Holy Spirit. Well, I'm not going to get the time to go into all that. Will come out of it, and the people may drink, which is the living water. So a lot of that, you can read that physically, but it's really very spiritual. It's talking about what's going to happen, almost like a prophecy, because it's something physical pointing to something futuristic, which is spiritual in nature. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. So he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah because of the contention or the strife of the children of Israel and because they tested the Eternal, saying, is the Eternal among us or not? Brilliant question for all of us individually. There are spiritual tests in the church, and there will be more. Some of them we have individually. They're just tests. And it's about what will we do? Will we complain and whinge, or will we wait on God? Will we wait for him? If you'd like to, I'm going to go to a particular scripture, because I realise I will run out of time. Matthew 26, verse 32. Prior to this, there is a scripture, if you wanted to put in your notes, in Zechariah 13, verse 7, about God striking the shepherd and their followers would leave. In other words, it was a prophecy that was talking about the disciples and what would happen to Christ. Matthew 26, verse 32. But after I, Christ, have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee, verse 33. Peter answered and said to him, even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble. Now, this really is for us, because this is something physical. Peter does not have God's Holy Spirit living and dwelling in them, in him, in the disciples. So it's for us. I will never be made to stumble, which is self-confidence. warning, warning. The moment self, self anything, self-confidence, self-righteousness, selfishness, what have they all got in them? Self. We all have a self called the natural carnal mind. So it's a warning because he's saying, I won't be made to stumble. Same for us. Will we be made to stumble if things don't go the way we perceive things? Will we stumble? What will we stumble at? Well, this is interesting the way Peter is thinking. He's so self-confident, doesn't matter what happens, I won't stumble because of you. There's no way. Joshua said to him, assuredly, I say to you this night, before the rooster crows. Now, there's been always debate about this in the sense of understanding, and they, people say it's a conflict of scripture. But the really, what it's being said here, it's a particular time that the rooster will crow before the dawn. Because if you live in the country, roosters crow often. So this one's talking about a period of time just before dawn when the roosters do crow, because it's the morning, the sun is starting to come up, just before dawn. So he says here, before the rooster crows, which is early in the morning, it's pointing to a specific time just before daylight or dawn. You will deny me three times. Deny means to disown. Now, why I'm covering this is an aspect, and I've been thinking whether how much of this I would cover without being too complicated. But people would call me and you Armstrongites. They think we follow Mr. Armstrong. Well, now it's we follow Mr. Wineland. So we're a Winelandite. So, but they don't realise we're Godites. We follow God. We follow Mr. Armstrong as he followed God. We follow Mr. Wineland, what he preaches, because he follows God. It's not hard, is it, for us? But, you know, we're put into all these different periods. Well, there can come a time, as it did here for Peter, where we are very confident we would never deny it. But what I'm pointing to is there going to be a time when under pressure, which is we're going to get to, Peter, when under great pressure, we will deny that we are members of the body of Christ, but put it another way, we belong to the Church of God, PKG. Do you think that could happen? Well, that's what it's about. You know, what will we deny? Or will we stand firm in confidence about what we do? I remember my calling. I remember my awakening. I see the truth. Yes, I am a member of the body of Christ. And yes, I follow Ron Wineland as he follows God. And I'm confident in it. Well, maybe we'll get under pressure. Will we let pride get in the way and say, I never knew him? Let's look at what Peter did. Verse 35, then Peter said to him, Joshua, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. Big statement, same for us. Even if I have to die, I will not deny that I am part of the Church of God, PKG. Self-confident. He's pretty confident here. No matter what, you know, really self-confident. No God spirit here at the moment. Self in the way. Self-confident. And so said all his disciples. Yep, we're all in it. No worry what happens to you. We'll die with you. Well, let's have a look. Drop down to Matthew 26, verse 47. And while he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude, with swords and clubs, which are sticks, came from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now his, which is Joshua's, betrayer had given them, which is the high priest, the priests and the elders there, a sign saying, whomever I kiss, he is the one, seize him. And immediately he, Judas, went up to Joshua and said to him, greetings, Rabbi. That's a nice greeting. G'day, mate. Same thing. Greetings, all friendly. Isn't this all lovey-dovey? You know, greetings, Rabbi, Master, and kissed him. Looks good on the outside. Intent. Intent. See, what looks good on the outside, God knows the intent of the heart. It might look all good, dressed up, Looks good on the outside. Well, it does anyway. But in here is the more important thing. Well, Judas had a motive, an intent, different. Still carnal, so he's using his selfishness. Kissed him. But Joshua said to him, "Friend, why have you come?" Then they came and laid hands on Joshua and took him. And suddenly, one of those who were with Joshua stretched out his hand and drew his sword, which was Peter, struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. But Joshua said to him, "Put your sword into its place, and all who take the sword will perish by the sword." That's something physical. So something spiritual, what do we take up? The sword, the word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. We take it up. We take up the word of God. So taking up the word of God, the potential of perishing is if we don't take up the sword, guess what's going to happen? We're going to perish. We have to take up the sword. We have to stand firm for God's word, no matter what happens. And we have to be willing to perish physically so that we don't perish spiritually. So it's a challenge. We have to take it up. Verse 53. "Or do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father and he will provide me more than 12 legions of angels?" Well, a legion, 6,000, so it was 72,000 angels. But the reality is, there was only a need for one. With God's great power, don't need an angel really, but really one angel would do it, because you can't kill that angel. But he can kill us. He's spirit, so there was no need for 72,000. But Christ is virtually saying something here. Do you think that, you know, God won't defend me, basically? Now, then, don't do anything, don't intervene, because scriptures have to be fulfilled, but this must happen. This is the way it's got to be, because he has to be the Passover. "In that hour, Joshua said to the multitudes, 'You have come out, and against me as a robber, with swords and clubs to take me. I sat with you teaching in the temple, and you did not seize me. But all this was done that the scripture and of the prophets might be fulfilled.'" So it had to happen this way. There had to be a Judas. There had to be a Judas. And if you go into other scriptures, it talks about vessels for honour and dishonour. You know, there has to be a Judas to be able to achieve God's will here. Drop down to verse 69. So we must remember here that Peter had a carnal mind and he did not have God's Holy Spirit dwelling in him. Now Peter sat outside the courtyard, so it's still dark, and a servant girl came to him saying, "You also were one with Joshua of Galilee." You're a Winelonite. You're one of them. What should have happened? Well, with God's Spirit, we say, "Yep, I am." There's a consequence for that. But here, Peter's still physical, and so what does he do? Verse 70, "But he denied it before them all, saying, 'I do not know what you are saying. I'm not part of PKG. I'm not part of PKG. I'm United.'" See, that's denying Christ, denying God, denying God's church. We are the church of God. God speaks to us. God dwells in us. And we don't deny it. How do we deny it? By the way we live. It doesn't take words. It doesn't take someone asking us things. "Are you part of PKG? That's not what's asked, is it? Have you ever been asked that? You might have, but not many. The truth is, it's by our actions. We deny Christ. We deny God because of our actions. We do not live the truth. We don't live as if we belong to the Church of God, PKG. Shame on us. Shame on us that we refuse to let God and Jesus Christ, or not Jesus Christ, Joshua the Messiah, live in us. It's a shame on us, isn't it, really, when you think about it? Here's this potential. Unique out of all the people in the world, this little weeny period of time, and we make so stupid, selfish choices to to deny Christ, just like Peter did. He's physical. We're spiritual in nature, but we do it. And we live these, refusing to pay first tithe correctly, refusing to save second tithe. How stupid can human be? Really, how stupid can we be? And if we can't see that, we don't see the truth. We don't see this is God's church. This is the church of God. Yahweh Elohim's church, handed over to Joshua the Messiah for a purpose, a great spiritual promise. But human nature, we let it get in the way and we justify it and do all these machinations of things so that it's who we are. So he denied it the first time. Then when he'd gone out the gateway, so he's going further away, because once you deny Christ, you go further away. That's what he's doing. So he's going out in the gateway, and another girl saw him and said to him, who was there, "This fellow also was with Joshua of Nazareth." The pressure's going up here. Another opportunity to, yes, I am a member of the body of Christ, the Church of God, PKG. But again, he denied with an oath. Now, this is not really, it's something about, he swears, I'm not part of PKG. I swear I'm not part of PKG. It's not swearing bad words. It's, you know, making a promise. No, I'm not. I don't know who you're talking about. I'm not part of it. I do not know the man. I do not know Ron Wineland. I do not know God's church. PKG, who are they? Be careful. Remember, it goes back here. I won't stumble. But we're going to be put under pressure at some point in our life to know whether, is this really in us? Because that's what it's about. Is this really here? This is God's true church. God's church. It's either in here or it's not. It's the spirit of the matter. Well, we have that opportunity every single day to answer this question, whether or not we are. Because the reality is, if we're not willing to follow the instructions from God given to us by an apostle, we are not part of the body of Christ. We're just not. Because we're refusing. We're denying Christ. We're just saying, no, I don't know. I don't know God's way. Liar. You had the opportunity to learn it. So we are the problem. We're the problem. Because we often deny Christ just by the way we are. It's not about words. It's the way we live towards others. It's the way we think towards others. That's what it's about. And a little later, those who stood by came up to Peter and said, "Surely you also are one of them." I like that. I love that. One of them. Well, I won't use the word proud, but I am so, so thankful I am one of them. That's the way we should be. Really thankful we're one of them. Isn't it brilliant? We're one of them. It's lovely. It's brilliant stuff. And a little later came up and said, "Surely you are one of them, and your speech, your accent betrays you." Feast of Booths. That betrays you. Feast of Tabernacles, Atonement, Passover, Unleavened Bread. That betrays you. Your speech betrays you. Well, in the world, one day they'll be able to say, "Your speech betrays you." Why? Because we don't curse people. We don't use bad language. All the things the world does reveals who they are, true? Well, our speech and our conduct, it should betray us that we are different. We're part of God's church. It's an incredible thing. And he began to curse. Now, that word curse is not the, you know, bad language curse, which is call down curses on self, which is, it's like you say, "I swear on my child's grave," or something, you know, just like a promisey thing. You know, I swear on my mother's grave that I, you know, I did this. That's what it's about. And swear, saying, "I do not know the man," and immediately the rooster crowed. just as Joshua the Messiah had said. And Peter immediately remembered the words of Joshua, who had said to him, "Before the rooster crows," which is that time of dawn, "you will deny me three times." And yet prior to this, he, along with others, was so confident, remember? Really, really confident. "I will never. If you die, I'm going to die with you." And he would deny him so three times. So he went out and wept bitterly. Now we can look at that physically. So if we do ever deny Christ by our thoughts, words or actions, what is weeping bitterly? Repent. Mourn about it. Repent before God. Because this is all physical, and people read a story and say, "Oh, you know, he did that and he did that, and then he went out and cried." This is about us. If we sin, if we fall down, if we deny Christ and God living and dwelling in us to the benefit of others, we should weep bitterly. We should repent. Think differently. Change. Change from this way. Stop denying Christ. Stop it. That's what this is about. Physical story, all for us. And one day, when Peter and them are resurrected and see, we'll be able to say, "We know exactly what you were going through because I did it." Because people look at it physical, and Peter, and he'll feel badly that he ever did it. I'm sure he remembered it. Every time he heard a rooster, any time during the day, what do you reckon happened? He would never, ever, ever, ever forget that he did that to the Messiah. It would be an incredible thing to bear all that period of time. True? Incredible. We are worse. We are worse. We know better. And yet we still do it. I do it. You do it. The answer, weep bitterly about it. Repent. Change. I don't want to do that again. And stick to the words that Peter said. If you die, I will die. Christ has died. We've got to kill self, true? We've got to get rid of self and put our whole being into it. The most important thing in life, deny self. That's the most important thing in life. Learn to deny ourselves. Choose to deny ourselves. I better wind up because I think we've run out of time. Always got too many notes, which is a good thing. Well, in conclusion, we as God's people have God's Holy Spirit, can deny Christ like Peter did physically, but we can do it spiritually, which is much, 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 much worse. And if we do, the most important thing is to remember our calling. Remember, we were slaves to something called self. We were slaves to that. We didn't know about it. We didn't even fight it. We didn't even understand it. We just thought we were right. Well, God's called us and given us the sight to see. Now we see. Yes, we were slaves. And we, in future scripture, which I haven't got to, but there is an opportunity. It talks about you are servants to who you obey. You're a slave to who you obey, which is true. We're either serving self or serving God. There's no grey area. It's one way or the other. So whenever we're under pressure at all, we just fall back to our main position. This is God's true church. I have God's Holy Spirit living and dwelling in me. We tell ourselves this. God is with me. God is standing before me. This is God's church. I am a member of the body of Christ. Yes, I am part of the church of God, administratively now, PKG. That's me. That's who I am. With that, we will conclude.